Next, we'll report on the ways that a national tragedy altered one American neighborhood. The tragedy was the killing of Martin Luther King. The neighborhood is home to a man who has seen all that's happened in the 40 years since.
I'm Stanley Mays. I'm a lifelong resident of the neighborhood, grew up here, and never left the neighborhood until I was an adult.
And Stanley Mays was a teenager when news of King's death spread across the country on April 4th, 1968.
How well do you remember that day?
I remember really well. I was here. I was literally at the corner here.
He means the street corner where a riot started in Washington, D.C. We're going to spend part of the next two mornings here because the news of King's death was only the beginning. Even the violence was only the beginning of a change that continues today. You can see how American cities evolve by walking among the brick Victorian houses that survive near this corner. It's a little more than a mile from the White House.
14th and U, that's the corner we're standing on here.
Indeed.
What's the importance of this corner?
Overhead, where we are, was the offices, Washington offices of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, the organization that Dr. King led. This corner is important to Washington because it actually represents the crossroads of Washington.
A crossroads between a white neighborhood and the white-dominated downtown. In between was this black neighborhood, home to laborers and domestics, as they were called. It was also home to doctors and writers, to the musician Duke Ellington, to the poet Langston Hughes, to theaters and nightclubs, to Washington's black middle class, which was concentrated here because they couldn't live just anywhere in 1968.
Were there formal legal segregation lines around here?
Well, it was sort of understood. At Garfinkel's, for instance, you were not permitted to try on clothes. And you could come in and shop. There was no prohibition, but you couldn't enter the dressing rooms. There were no whites-only fountains and the like, but everybody knew some places you went, some places you didn't.
This corner in Washington, D.C. was a place that you went. It was the place where buses dropped off black commuters on their way home. And Stanley Mays says it was the place where people gathered after Martin Luther King was shot.
When his death came, then it was just an outpouring of grief. I remember it somewhat like the Kennedy assassination, where people just standing bawling in the streets.
What happened here to trigger violence?
Well, someone, why, who knows? Someone picked up a can, a trash can, and just threw it into the window of the People's Drugstore. Then people started throwing rocks at the buildings, at the stores that they perceived to be owned by whites. And some of the stores, like the London Custom Shop, was a high-end fashion store. So when they start breaking the windows, people start looking at those fashions as something to put on. So they started grabbing things out of the window. The smoke from the fires and all that were taking place and all, the neighborhood was such you couldn't breathe. Within 24 hours, the message was out clearly. Why would you think we should burn up our own neighborhood? And at that point, people then attacked the downtown stores. And you could look across the city and you could see places were aflame. And at night, it just reminded me of a war zone.
Can we walk over to this? There's a historic sign over here that I think has a photograph of the neighborhood.
Yes.
Down here we've got this photograph. And when you say war zone, it doesn't look like you're exaggerating.
You've
got burned out buildings, buildings that seem entirely to have collapsed.
Right. The fires raised. They couldn't put them all out.
Must have been kind of depressing, like a month later, to look around the neighborhood and see the shape it was in then.
Even looking at the way things were, it was a belief on the parts of most of the people in the community that the Congress and the President would not allow Washington, D.C. to remain in tatters. For those of us who are just a little beyond World War II, we know what happened with the Marshall Plan, so we saw this from Dresden and everything. We know what they did. They came back and they rebuilt it. And this was the nation's capital, and that they would rebuild this quickly, and little did we know it would take so many years for that to happen.
And that's the story of a neighborhood that eventually changed radically, that Stanley Mays and other neighborhood residents will help us tell on this program tomorrow.
And I'm looking at a photo gallery here. It shows how the riot in Washington, D.C. unfolded and also gives you a glimpse of that U Street neighborhood today. It's at npr.org.